You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
This is Overdrive.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's mail it in Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
It's mail it in Friday. With Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
And I will always love
this is a shout-out to that hero in L.A., the cheerleader for UCLA, who was playing the role of Kevin Costner last night in The Bodyguard.
And just ate it.
He tried to get her off the floor, and he was thinking,
yeah.
The next step is candlelit dinner.
For sure.
Rose petals all over the bed, and we're going to be an item for a long time. And instead, he almost put her into a coma.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Yikes.
If you haven't seen the video, you got to find it. I mean, it's a classic. I hope she's okay, but if she is, I can laugh at this because...
Well, if she's
wow,
not okay,
did she bite it.
If she's not okay, we're idiots because we've been...
I think we'd know by now. I feel for her because you know she's going to be so embarrassed by it.
It was a guy with a headset on, but he was such a hero.
Oh, right in there. I've got you. I'll carry you off. I hope she was yelling at him to like, put her down.
Yeah,
like, leave me alone. Who the hell are you? And he's like, no, I got it. Don't worry. I'll take care of you.
It's probably their coordinator or something, though.
And he just blows a wheel.
Well, he steps on, like, some bag or something and just eats it.
Stepped on a bag and just blows a tire.
It's like a Mortal Kombat move.
It was.
Like, he put her into the ground.
Yeah, it was a suplex.
It was forceful. So anyway, we've tweeted that.
He had big plans for her, too.
Oh, man. You know he did. You know what he was thinking.
Oh, he was going to lie her down on a bench like Mickey from Rocky and just...
Revive her.
Mm-hmm.
Pet her hair. And then he does that.
I'd say you're in the friend zone after that.
For sure.
Oh, or the enemy zone.
Either
you're
way.
You're not in good standing.
You're done.
Our old buddy in Saskatchewan.
Yes.
97 years old today. His name is Art.
Art.
So shout out to Artie.
Arthur.
Ray's coming up in a moment. Alex Anthopoulos in an hour. Future headlines at 6:30. Breaking news just before we came on. Charles Oakley has been banned from Madison Square Garden. So he can't show up for a Knicks game, can't show up for a Rangers game, big fight, big concert. The guy just can't step foot anywhere close to the garden. And it's kind of getting out of control. And the thing is, this is going to backfire so bad because did you see during the Ranger game last night, Rangers fans were chanting, free Charles Oakley.
Yeah,
it's Oakley all night. Wait until the Knicks play Denver tomorrow night at the garden.
I want to go to the game.
I would pay a lot of money to be in that building tomorrow night. What do you think the response will be?
Yeah, but what if...
I think there's going to be some serious problems.
Here's an over-under.
Don't you?
I do.
Is James Dolan sitting in his seats tomorrow?
Not a chance.
Well, it might come up in future headlines.
Oh, yeah.
I think that could be a pretty interesting
not
one.
Not a chance he's sitting in his seats.
Wouldn't that be such a gutless move, too? You've caused this whole storm.
Yeah,
you're on radio
in
New York. It's kind of like Goodell and Deflategate, where he's got to show up at the Garden at some point. He owns the team. Yeah, right, he runs the building. He runs the whole operation.
Sit in the box, though. Like, he's not going to be. And you know the media will be looking at every seat to see where he is. He's not going to the game.
It's a really interesting prop. Will Dolan show his face at the Garden tomorrow night?
He's not going to the game. I don't think so.
I tend to agree with you, but he better. I think he's pretty stubborn, clearly.
But you said he's doubled down. He's taking shots and saying this guy's got some problems. Now, maybe he does. I'm sure there's backstory here. It's the backstory. That's why I was saying the truth is somewhere, I believe, in the middle. Because Oakley, you know he's not a choir boy walking in.
No, he's not. He does generally come off as an angry guy. But that doesn't mean you have personal problems.
No.
It's not illegal or dangerous to society just because you got a chip on your shoulder.
No, but if he starts chirping at Dolan on the way in.
Okay, and if you're the owner, I understand you don't deserve that, or you right. can call the shot, but banning him for life, that's not going to help. It's just not going to help if you want this to go away. Let's bring in Ray, and Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. What's going on, Ray?
Very little. I'm just getting rid of a phone call that always seems to happen when I start talking to you clowns. And back in Vancouver, missed the snow in Toronto. Ready for the weekend.
Are you a runner, Ray?
Not anymore.
He's got the bad knee.
Oh, bad knee.
I signed up for a marathon today.
What are you going to go? Are you going to run with your snowboarding stuff on?
What does that even mean? I don't understand what that means.
I think neither are going to happen.
What do you mean neither are going to happen?
You're not going to hit the over on the snowboarding.
Yes, I am.
Although I hear you almost had a near debacle injury.
It wasn't good. I was almost concussed, but thanks for your concern.
He's taking a break for a couple weeks from snowboarding just to recover.
Until the snow melts.
Yeah, until about July, he'll get back out there.
And then the marathon thing is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Sporting Life 10K.
It's a 10K, Ray.
Okay, well, wait a minute. A marathon, that's a 10K. A marathon's 26 miles.
Thank you, Ray. See, that was my reaction. First of all, Ray was a lot more negative and pessimistic than I was. I had a smile on my face and was, you know, half joking and trying to be somewhat supportive. He took a run at your other shortcomings. I mean, he brought snowboarding into the mix.
Well, I watched you race Jonas.
That wasn't a good look.
No, if you do this 10K in your suit, that will be outstanding.
I think you should. Do it in a suit with a pair of runners on.
You could raise money for charity, Hero.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't need my nuts in that position for a 10K run in dress pants. Like, I need running stuff.
Wear a suit jacket and a shirt and then a pair of sweatpants.
That's not going to raise money. What? Why do you guys come up with dumb ideas for me?
Oh, if you have a charity that you like, we would help raise money.
Yeah, I know, but just me running, not in a suit, though.
No, just to finish. And we'd have a paramedic run right with you.
Well, the guy's already offered.
Isn't that nice? Everyone wants to help.
I got to say, there's this guy. His name's Matt Hughes. He's got a verified account. He chirped me.
What did he say? An Olympian. He's our guy, man. He was on the show in the summer before he went down to Rio.
Well, he can go to hell. He posted this video of this fat cartoon running with a hot dog attached to a string in front of his head. And that's what he claims is my advice, or his advice for me.
Well, that's not.
So he might get a block.
Well, you don't block him.
You can't block
that.
Him. He's a Canadian hero. The
and
guy was down
there. Why is he chirping me? Okay, Matt, we'll get you on the hockey
rink.
Hold
on a second.
And I'll run you over.
How about you meet in between up on Blue Mountain? Little snowboard routine.
I think Matt was having some. Because isn't that the
Peter
Family
Griffin,
guy?
It?
It's the Family Guy.
Yeah, it's Griffin. Yeah, I've seen that before. I was that before.
We're
I know what's
some
up.
Fun. I don't think it's a shot at you.
No, it's a shot.
Oh, it's a shot.
Matt's just having some fun. He's a Canadian hero.
And listen, he's a runner.
This guy's story, okay, quickly, because he came on the show. He went down to Rio. He left before the closing ceremonies because he wanted to get back to Kingston because he had tickets to the Hips' final show. Think about that routine.
That's a great. All right. He's all right.
He's
a
beauty,
like trip,
is
though.
What Matt Hughes is. So
yes,
leave him out of it.
Exactly.
Get me
friend
some
of the
free
show.
Shoes then. Big boy.
Well, yeah, he'll hook you up with some gear, I'm sure.
Can you get him some? He'll get him some memorabilia. You know what? Ask him to see if he can get some Olympic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sweatshirt and stuff.
Retroactively, see if he can go down to Rio and hook you up.
I don't want that. Get me some shoes if you're a Nike athlete. 11. Okay. Right. Joggers.
Right?
Joggers.
You know what's interesting
joggers.
About what's interesting about this conversation is that, like, we all do this. We want other people maybe to hook you up, or you have a tendency sometimes, if you can, you'll ask people if they might be able to get you something.
I have no problem asking people to hook me up because I hook up other people.
You do
I have
hook other
my
people
my whole
up.
Friggin' life.
Well,
hey,
that's,
any chance you get Maple Leaf? Okay.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring up the Jordan Spieth rant from yesterday, where Spieth was going off on autograph seekers, who are doing it simply so that they can put it back online and make some money. Now, you guys have, I'm sure, all been.
Yes.
Not victims. I mean, let's be honest. It's not the end of your life if this happens. But you guys have all been maybe harassed for autographs at weird times, maybe in personal moments. And
yeah. It's
like, do you just know, Ray? I'm sure you've been in this situation. You know this guy is turning right around and he's going to try to make money off it.
In most
in most cases, it was remarkably easy. Because one way is you've got a guy asking you to sign 10 of the same card.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want 10 of my cards. Why would you want them?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's ditching all 10 if he can, or, I don't know, some guys keep one and get the rest done. Or sell the rest. I think it's easy to tell, and it kind of pisses you off in a way, because for me, you lose patience with it, and then there are people that would actually want you to sign something because they wanted it, but now the only thing you can think of is getting through, to wherever you're going, like get on the bus, get to the hotel, get on with your day, and you kind of dust people that probably just want your autograph.
Yeah, it kind of tarnishes the situation. I mean, try staying at the Long Island Marriott and walking across to the game, and a guy has a 2x4 with one of your cards taped to it. I made you a plaque. Can you give me a stick? And I'm like, well, I didn't want this plaque. Like, it's not a plaque. It's a 2x4 with my card taped to it. Like, Ray, am I wrong?
No, I'm laughing because the guy had one for me. Like, it is a chunk of wood. You're like,
like it's like he's gone to an old construction site and
shop class.
It's a plaque.
I will say this. I learned a great lesson from Jerome Iginla, because Iginla stops and signs for everyone unless he's contractually obligated for certain things not to sign things. And he said, you know what? He goes, if the guy wants to stand out there for 5 hours and he makes $15 or $20 off my signature, like, good on you. Go ahead. Like, he said after a while he just learned to accept it. So then I thought to myself, like, for the 10 times I get asked, like, don't be a hero. That's what I by the end, I was doing that.
You know what? That's a way better way than me getting pissed off for 18 years about it. I wish I would have heard that same story 30 years ago. It would have been better off for me. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good way to go about it, because it gets incredibly frustrating at times. Like when I was with the Rangers, all you had to do was get off the bus after Messier and you could walk anywhere.
Yeah.
Because they'd swarm him or Leach or Richter and you could go wherever you wanted. Like those guys can't, I mean, they don't go anywhere without getting swarmed. A guy like Iggy would not be able to go, I'm sure, too many places without everybody knowing who he is.
Well, it's capitalism in a nutshell. It's how do you make a buck, and it's almost like the food chain, in the ocean. You guys are the sharks, and there's just a bunch of people trying to feed off you if you can, and the way...
Austin Matthews is going to go through it. I'm sure he's gone through it for the last couple of years leading up to the draft. Like, everyone wants a chunk of him in this city and pretty much through the league. Mitch Marner, same thing. Like, that's the lay of the land. McDavid's going through it. Like, and I'm sure they've got their own system and how to work it.
You better be prepared.
Yeah, the thing is, there was a time when there were more card companies, and so a guy would literally have 7 or 8 of your cards times 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, well, how about if I sign 5 of them so I can sign everybody else is here too? And then, because what ends up happening is you got to get going eventually, and no matter when you stop, you always piss somebody off.
Yeah.
Like, you can never sign enough, or you can never spend enough time, because eventually you got to go to dinner, or you got to get on the bus, or you got to get to your flight, or whatever it is, and somebody is always going to rag you, for sure. It happened. You just do the best you can with it, I think.
Yeah, that's probably the appropriate mentality. You're never going to please everyone. It happens.
No, you're right.
Anyway, the story in City Today featuring the Maple Leaf game last night, and I know you were calling a game in Ottawa, was the beginning of overtime, which lasted about 12 seconds because they lost a draw, and then Tarasenko decided he was going to put on a bit of a clinic, and the game was over before you could even flinch. But the idea that Babcock, and he's been doing this all year, seems to start overtime conservatively. Like, he starts Kadri and Komarov in overtime. And he's been doing it pretty much all year. Because the opposing...
And Matthews and Marner are sitting on the bench.
Yeah, the opposing team is always like, all right, McDavid, you're up. Tarasenko, you're up. Sid, right. You're up. Like every other team seems to say, most talented player, you go out there, try to win it early if you can. And Babcock almost tries to check his way through the first shift.
I don't know why anyone's really surprised by that.
Well, why? What? Like I was saying to these guys,
watch
Ray,
the way he coaches.
I know, but why, if I'm running 3-on-3, and this is not the like it was just a great play by Tarasenko.
Oh,
but
unreal move.
If I'm coaching, it's Matthews and Marner with Riley, and then it's Bozak and JVR with Gardner, and then it's Kadri and Nylander with Zaitsev, and you're just running those three units. I mean, it seems pretty simple to me.
But he would look at that as if we'll check these, and hell, I'm not, I guess I am critiquing him, but he is, you know, he coaches, I don't. But his way has always been he'll look after their top players with their defensive matchup, and then he wants to try and put the matchup back the other way with his offensive guys. I just know that's the way he coaches. He's coached that way. He likes his matchups. He's always has. And he will lean to the defensive side first. Look at his quotes over the last week. How many times has he used that line? It's not a race to 10.
Yeah.
You know, this was a real hockey game. Mike likes the game to be really structured and under control. And if you start your offensive guys against them, it's more of a coin flip. I think that would be the way I would describe it.
It also comes down to, obviously, winning that draw is huge in 3-on-3. And there's been a lot of debate in the hockey world, the importance of draws, the amount of time it gets talked about. The reason it gets talked about as much as it does from my standpoint is because it's the only time in the game where it's a focused play and the play is stopped and you know what's coming. When right. The game is free-flowing, you can't talk about every moment in the game because the game's going too fast. So, you know, when I hear people or I see people complaining, like, why do they talk about draws all the time? Because it's so focused. That's why. You know the draw is coming. I can tee up.
Right.
The draw, I can
analyze.
What is
with this argument around here with other people about how important face-offs are and they're not? And it's just like...
Well, I tend to agree.
Over that?
I'll take a one draw instead of a lost draw every day of the week.
Thanks. It's as simple as that.
Well, that's true. But I think the argument is over the course of the year, it pretty much evens out. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that there aren't important draws.
Well, right. But draws are more important in different times, right?
Exactly.
Like the face-offs outside the blue line, the focus on the draw is different for other different centermen out in the neutral zone.
Right.
It really is. You get into the zones and it does matter. Like, so I did the Dallas game on Tuesday and Sagan scored directly off a draw. Mm-hmm. I did the game last night and Phaneuf scored directly off a draw. Those are in zone draws. They do matter. The ones at center ice, I can't tell you half of them what happened, who won. You know, they just become a stat. But it does at least start you with the puck. I mean, in overtime, you win the draw, lose the draw. You wouldn't expect that the thing's going to end that quickly. I mean, that's like O said, that's just a hell of a play.
Yeah, it was. It was an unreal shot, too.
Oh, man, can he shoot the puck? That's two games against the Leafs, and he's scored on two rockets.
Yeah, he scored two beauties and glove side on Freddie coming across the ice.
But he doesn't need a windup. Like, it's a quick little snap of the wrist, and that thing has velocity.
The guy is actually, Tarasenko is built kind of like Brett Hull.
He is.
Like, he is wide and squat and powerful, and he looks like, you know, even Hull looked when he played, like, you know, he's probably a couple of pounds
more than he should be
lugging around there.
He's going to battle that in the prime of his career, because everyone's going to say, you know what? What would he be like? We had this chat with Mike Gardner talking about Phil. It's like, what would he be if he was in tip-top shape? And then other people are going to say, why do you even want to explore that with what he does now? But there's always going to be that question. And you put that guy in Rod Brind'Amour shape, who the hell knows what kind of animal he'd be?
But he could be hurt all the time, too. I've seen guys
that's
who
what
are carved
I lived
out of
it
stone.
Myself. As soon as I stop scoring, can you stop on the scale, please?
Yeah.
Start scoring. You don't need to step on the
Ray,
scale.
Ray, they've got Tarasenko at 6 feet, 220 on NHL.com. I saw him in St. Louis with his tarp off. He's probably 235.
I was going to say, he's closer to 240.
Yeah. Like, and like you talk about all of looking like a fire hydrant. Like, I don't even think he's 6 feet either. I think he's just under. But he is a house.
But he can still move. You're not knocking him off the puck. You're not knocking him over very easily, that's for sure. Could he be 10 pounds lighter? Well, I'm sure it would probably help. You know, yeah. I think it would. You know, I mean, if you think about it, if any guy's lugging around extra weight, just put a weight vest on and walk around for 20 minutes and see what that feels like. But that's, they've argued with him and tried to get him lighter, and that's just what he is, and he's also one of the best goal scorers in the league.
Well, the best goal scorer in the league snapped a streak last night, and I don't even know how to put this into perspective. It is the most random stat, yet arguably one of the most impressive stats you'll ever come across. Alex Ovechkin did not register a shot last night. The last game in which he didn't actually register a shot, March 12th, 2013, almost 4 years ago. Something like 312 games.
Pretty impressive.
And that shocked me, quite frankly, when I heard it, that it's been that long, and yet at the same time, like I just assume great players get a shot on net every night. So that's why I'm saying it's a very difficult stat for me to put into perspective, because I think Matthews now is the only guy in the league who has had a shot every single game.
Yeah. If I would get over 120 shots a year, that was a lot for me.
Really?
So that's like a shot and a half a game.
Didn't Ray Bourque used to be around 400 a year?
400.
Yeah.
Hull had a couple of years where he was way up there. We looked that up a couple of years ago. I remember someone said, go take a look at Brett Hull's
Oh, yeah. When
shot.
I was scoring, I wanted five a game. If I didn't have five, I felt like I had an off night. Five hits, five shots.
I couldn't shoot it hard enough or from far enough out, so mine were like three-footers. But I never had a lot of shots. To get one every night would... I'd be mad when I didn't get one, but there were lots and lots of nights I didn't get too many.
Well, yeah, I hear you, and you're right. I mean, I guess there's more focus on shots now because of the analytics and more people are looking at it, for sure. But I guess, again, the fact that Matthews is now the only guy in the league, you're telling me, like, Sid has gone a game without a shot? Like, Line A?
Yeah.
Like, I just assumed all the top guys who play 20 minutes a night get a shot on net, like Carlson went a game without a shot. Like, that shocks me.
Well, it's interesting.
But it obviously, that's the case.
Well, what about Chris Kelly got a goal last night without getting a shot?
Right. That was, who was it? Hudler.
Yuri Hudler.
Guy's been a mess this year. Yeah, thanks for coming out. Wasn't that strange?
He's been a mess for Dallas.
He's a healthy scratch for like six games in a row, wasn't he?
Yeah, he never got out of the starting blocks this year. He got sick and... he had some kind of virus, and they couldn't figure out what it was. He missed about 6 weeks, and he's not even a dangerous player at all. But so he dumps it in the empty net. Kelly touched the puck 10 seconds before. He's sitting on the bench, gets a goal, no plus and no shot.
You'll take it.
That's how you do it, man. It's not how; it's how many.
Oh, I would have loved a few of those.
I mean, that's it for Dallas, right? Like, they're done. Can they just trade people already? What do they think they're going
to
accomplish?
Get it over with.
Well, the problem is, who are they going to trade? They're going to trade Sharp. If you could find a taker for Hudler, I don't know that you would. Odui is hurt. I don't, like, who else are they going to trade?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Would Ham Hughes maybe?
Ham Hughes got another year. Maybe Patrick Eves. He's got 19 goals and... He's a free agent at the end of the year.
I don't think anybody would want him.
What the hell's up with his beard? That Eve's beard.
Well, Eve's beard is Thornton-like.
Yeah.
Like, he skated right up close to me yesterday. I'm like, wow, he's got some gray threaded through there and some other funky colors in there. I don't know what it is, but that is one gigantic beard. I don't even know why they guys think that looks good.
Sometimes my buddy told me, he goes, beards are makeup for ugly men.
Well, okay, then grow a regular beard. You don't have to look like you live in a mountain.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of handsome guys with beards, but I'm saying that Patrick Eves beard.
Could you grow a beard?
No, I don't think so. Not an even one. I can get some stubble and kind of
little JP patches.
Yeah, I'd be the Cliff Clavin beard, but I don't think I can get a clean one.
Hayes probably... cat, no chance.
No, man.
Oh, you can
try.
Put one together.
No, it's white.
Really?
Yeah, you got like a Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, you got a Kenny Rogers beer. We got to ask to see if you can. We got to ask to see if you can grow that beard out.
No way. I don't think Millier likes it, quite frankly, and I'm not doing it.
Oh, I would love you with a white beard. That would be great.
Why?
I don't know. There's just something about a white beard. I have a lot of time for that.
I think.
You think
awesome.
It would be, you know, have a little tomato soup or something. You'd have a little dash of red in there sometimes. And
oh, what if you get the dart stash going though, the yellow stash and yellow?
I think
underbelly?
That's why I like it. I think I showed you the picture of the old timer who used to be a cop in Saskatoon. What's his name? Billy Dobson. Billy sent him a tweet in about 40 minutes ago, and he's got the white stash, and he looks like he's been
smoking darts.
He's had a two-pack a day routine for about 45 years.
He's got the yellow tinge.
Oh yeah, you know what's up the second he walks in the room. He's asking if this is a smoking indoors type of environment.
And his wife has put up with windows up darts for many, many years.
For 40 years.
Yes,
for sure.
might even do windows up gars.
That is on a different level. I told you about my great uncle that used to do that. That is, it's honestly, it's abuse. It's torture.
It
really is. The cops should be called on anyone that smokes a cigar with the windows up and other people are in there. Anyway. All right, buddy. Well, enjoy your weekend.
I will do that.
And
let me know. Give us the progress. When are you starting the 10K stuff?
Well, I'm going to start next week. I got to start, right?
Well, yeah, you do have to start. To finish, you have to start.
Well, to do it, like, I got to start training for it. I'm in the gym. I've been in the gym for 3 weeks, but I got to start running. I'm going to be like Forrest Gump during this run. Like, people want to join me. They want to do it.
Sean Podine told me the easiest thing he ever did was run a marathon. I said, well, are you kidding me? He says, yeah, I'm not trying to win the thing. I'm just trying to finish it. If you get tired, you walk a bit.
Yeah.
If not, you run. You'll get this done, oh.
No, there's no question. I'm too mentally strong to let this get me down.
Oh, yeah. You're mentally strong.
Okay, over under, will you walk at any point?
I
think there will be a walk in there. Just a reset.
Yes, yeah. Guy, no guy, a little bit of walk?
It's too early to tell. If you really commit to it, you'll run. It's 10K, you know. It's 40 minutes. You can do that.
See, the
Why
only problem is
him,
the last time I did this couch to 10K... There's a 5-minute warm-up, and I'd have a dart during the warm-up.
Yeah,
that's like, that's good. No way to do it.
No, you can't do that. You won't be fully committed. I said I would, Ray, so I might.
I'd love for you to do it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You gotta
have be outstanding.
The Tough Mudder headband on.
I still have that. I'll wear the Tough Mudder headband.
Wear the headband.
I wear that thing with pride.
If it's raining, we ain't doing it.
Oh, my gosh.
We're like mailmen. If it's raining, we're out. Okay. Yeah, I'll commit to it.
There we are.
There you go, Ray. All right.
I like that.
We'll get pictures, video, just for your sake.
And we're getting blind drunk right after.
Yeah, right to the pub.
Private party. We're going to set up a private party, TSN 1050, and we're going to have a time right after.
Okay. That's my hood, man. And we're talking about Yonge and Eglinton area.
No, it doesn't. That's where it starts.
Well, it's 10K. Like, how much further is it going to go?
Well,
it's probably not 10K.
Yeah.
10K away.
Anyway.
That's where it ends.
All right, buddy.
Okay. Have a good weekend, boys.
There he is. Ray Ferraro on Overdrive is brought to you by Timeshare Exit Team. They'll get you out of your timeshare guaranteed or give you a complete refund with offices in Toronto or visit timeshareexitteam.ca. We're running marathons. We're really doing it here.
It's not marathons. It's a 10K.
We're calling it a marathon.
If I'm doing it, I'm on board with us calling it a marathon.
Yeah.
If I'm not, then it's 10K.
We're trying to make up for him. For making fun of him to start off of the show.
I feel shame.
I said I support you. I just want you to do it the right way.
Yeah. I'm going to do it the right way. Mm. Monday is a big day.
So this is a big weekend, then. This is the final weekend of destruction for you.
No.
So
you're gonna have I got my kids this weekend. I can't.
But you'll have pizza.
No. I don't eat pizza, man.
What?
Once a month.
Wait a minute. Slow down.
Yeah.
Once a month, I go eat pizza. Well,
in
if it's
this
brought
room
in here, but I'm not a pizza guy.
You're into Creed. You don't like pizza. You're running marathons. Who are you?
Yeah, who is this guy that showed up on a Friday?
It's a new me, buddy. It's a new me going forward.
I got a big weekend plan. I'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Break.
Yeah, that's right, man. And we got Alex Anthopoulos just after 6 p.m. Future headlines in an hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
So a couple items via Twitter we need to get to. My dear friend Matt Hayes will not be quiet. He decided to tweet me and said, "Don't bail on this like you did snowboarding."
Well, I
okay,
guess
Matt.
Said I'm.
He's really all over you on Twitter.
Yeah,
he's tuned
just
you up
owning
a few
you.
Times.
Why don't you come and do the marathon with me, Matt?
No, because he'll leave
Olympian.
You in the dust.
So what?
Like, here's the thing. Kate
doesn't
Burness,
mean he can run a 10K marathon.
Kate tweeted and said she wants in. Kate is too athletic. We can't run with you, Kate, because you're going to make us look really, really bad.
We don't
bad.
Care about her, though. She's going to be 10 miles ahead. She'll finish an hour ahead of us.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if she's running
Dude,
with us,
we're
she'll
just
be
doing it for the party. We're setting up a massive party. This place right here, Old Tomorrow Beer, will sponsor the marathon after party. And here's the challenge for O-Dog. Go sub 40 and you've got beer for a year.
Sub 40 minutes? There's no way you could run a 40-minute mile.
No.
There's marathon.
So that's just a fake giveaway.
Well, it's not a fake giveaway. It's
no, it
trying
is.
To
it's
challenge
a fake
you.
Giveaway.
But that's what
it's
I'm
fake
saying.
News.
Like,
fake news.
It's fake news. And we're basically, what you're suggesting is we're running the marathon simply so we can party afterwards, which seems more up our alley. And I would agree
Dude,
with
we deserve
you.
It after we run a marathon.
Right.
Okay, so if you did it 50 minutes, that's realistic.
I think it's going to take us around an hour.
I would say at least an hour. I think I jumped the gun. Some people are pointing out that I said it would take 45 minutes, and
no,
that's not true. There's no way. We're not runners. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if Kate comes, Kate would run it really quickly, and we can't keep up, and we don't want – we need our own little bubble. And
yeah.
Right? We'll support each other here.
And if you need to stop, I'll stop.
Right. Fully commit to that. Shep texting in saying, "I wish I could get out of my car and run 10K right now on the 401.
I heard it's ugly.
It's a disaster outside. And you know that when Adjua starts, when she starts her News Talk 1010 traffic and weather update with, "Ooh, it's bad outside," or "It is a disaster on the roads." It's almost like a, what's the point
it's
of
like,
listening?
Don't go on the roads.
Yeah, in other words. You don't really need to break down what else is going on because it's so ugly and the weather's bad. And anyway,
it's not good right now. It's a struggle, but drive safe. That's the least.
I might jet at 6 today.
Yeah. What are you talking about? We got Anthopolis. We've got
future headlines. We've got some big things ahead of us right now.
We need you to stick around. We need the energy to be high.
Yeah, you brought the energy yesterday for most of the show.
This is where it gets challenging.
I'm going
this guy from Old Tomorrow Beer saying it's not a fake giveaway. Go sub 50. Challenge accepted. I can't.
Sub 50?
I can't.
49.59 you can get.
For 10 kilometers? Well, there'd be no walking. You'd have to be running the whole time at a really good clip.
Yeah.
It's doable.
It's
I mean,
doable
clearly. But
I want to drink one of these beers. This guy's got a beer called Ride Ale. What is there, like rye in it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
What's
man.
A ride ale?
Well, we'll have to figure it out.
All right. We'll figure all this stuff out later. I'm going to Hamilton tomorrow, catching the Bulldogs game.
Are you?
Bulldogs Spitfires. I'm going to check out the downtown scene in Hamilton. I'm looking forward to that tomorrow night.
Really?
Such a gritty neighborhood.
Well, there's an East Coast League team around here, too, the Brampton Beast.
You're a fan of them.
I am. I know Chris.
Our buddy Matt Hughes, he's on board now. He'll help us. He'll coach us.
He's a good guy. He's from Oshawa. Mullen knows him.
So he's not a jerk.
So he drinks whiskey probably with Mullen, the Mullen family, Larry and
he's a goon.
Mark.
He's a good man. And Kate's saying that she's 100% in for the party afterwards.
We're going to set up a big party, a TSN party. Join us.
All right.
We're going to get the location.
We'll get it together.
And we're going to have a fan fest after party.
You know what we should do is invite Charles Oakley.
Do you think he would? He's invited. He's allowed.
As the bouncer. He can kick people out.
He can do whatever he wants.
I think let's get Oakley involved.
Because James Dolan, the owner of the Knicks and owner of the Rangers, and he runs Madison Square Garden, he was on ESPN Radio in New York.
Yeah.
And he had a few things to say about this whole Oakley situation. And it seems to be getting worse. So I guess he got on there and he said he wants to give his side of the story of the way it all played out. All right, so let's give him that benefit to at least try to explain how everything played out the other night. Here's James Dolan on ESPN Radio in New York.
Charles Oakley came to the Garden with an agenda, right? With a mission in mind. And from the moment he stepped into the Garden, I mean the moment he walked through the first set of doors, he began with this behavior, abusive behavior, disrespectful behavior, stuff that I don't think you want to say on the radio.
Right.
And it just accelerated and accelerated and accelerated all the way down to his seats, and then ultimately with a confrontation with security, and eventually ending up with his being ejected and arrested.
First of all, that guy sounds so New York. Like, that is the most New York accent ever, yeah. James Dolan. But he's been saying that for the past couple of nights. The Knicks came out with that secondary press release saying that everyone agrees that he was belligerent right from the hop and he was yelling and screaming. And I think that's why Dolan has decided to fire the head of security. So he's placing the blame on that guy somehow.
Saying that he shouldn't have made it to his seats.
As if he's supposed to track 20,000 people at the Garden and know exactly who's belligerent, who's not. How many drunk people walk through those concession stands every single game? They don't all get picked off.
Right.
But anyway, you knew that Dolan was going to do this. He's stubborn. He's going to try to sell it as if it was all Oakley. It was his fault. That's why he got kicked out. That's why he got arrested. Here's what he had to say about his reasoning behind barring Oakley, not necessarily for life, but he's not allowed in the Garden anytime soon.
You do those things, right? You come to the Garden and you behave that way and you abuse people that way, right? And subject people to that kind of behavior, you will be ejected and banned. That is the right thing to do. And yes, I understand that he was a big star and a Nick, et cetera. But that doesn't excuse people from that kind of behavior.
Which, you know what, to be fair, he's not wrong if you're talking about a random fan that you're not familiar with and you don't have a relationship with, who you don't know if they're stable. You don't know what their backstory is or what their motive is. Charles Oakley, you can't treat him like every other fan you know what he's all about.
You're right, but at what point, I guess this is my question back to both of you. At what point does his history in that you give him a pass for, but at what point is the line drawn? Because if he's being a jackass, I don't know. I'm not suggesting that he was, but I'm saying if he was and he crosses a line, do you say, all right, you get the gate?
I think that's what Dolan's saying. Okay, so that's my interpretation is Oakley has been doing this, or he did it to an extent, where they're going to treat him the same way they would treat any other fan if they acted the same way at the Garden, which I don't necessarily believe because I think a lot of fans do stupid things and they don't get picked off. Right. I think Dolan probably told, in fact, I'd be willing to bet, he told his security team, watch this guy whenever he gets into the building. There were reports that I was reading about it this morning that Oakley, whenever he walks into the Garden, security is supposed to call Dolan to let him know that he's there. So you're clearly looking for a problem. You're waiting for a problem. Right. And Oakley finally supplied him with one that went public enough where Dolan could follow through and execute this idea to kick him out.
Right.
So Dolan, he probably loves the fact that Oakley did this. And here's what he had to say. This is the clip that's going to make the rounds. This gets back to the original press conference.
This is so bizarre.
About Oakley needing help. And here's what Dolan had to say on the Michael Kay Show on ESPN Radio in New York.
Charles has got a problem. I've said this before. We've said it before. We said it one time that, he's his own worst problem. He has a problem. People need to, sort of understand that. He has a problem with anger. He's both physically and verbally abusive. He may have a problem with alcohol. We don't know, right? But those behaviors of being physically and verbally abusive are, those are personality problems.
So now this guy is a psychiatrist.
Well, I'm speculating he may have a problem with alcohol. You got to steer clear of that unless you know.
Right.
Because that's now you're starting to
can't toss it out there. He may have a problem with alcohol, we think.
Or we may or we may not know. Right. We may know. I know. There's way too much speculation there.
Yeah. I would like to hear, though, in a candid moment, what type of nonsense is going on behind closed doors. whether Oakley has gotten in people's faces, where they, if he showed up, tuned up, and been belligerent. And, it, I mean, it's on record. People believe. James Dolan is a jackass. He treats people like garbage. So you know his story. You know Dolan's story. I'd like to hear Oakley's story, what he's like behind the curtain.
Well, Oakley has gone public
right.
with the complete opposite breakdown. He said, I haven't done anything. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. Right. So it's a he said scenario.
Right.
And, of course, all the employees are going to tell Dolan whatever he wants to hear, because if they don't, they're going to be on the curb.
But I'd like
so
to.
I don't know how you're ever going to clarify exactly what happened.
I think somebody's, with these phones and stuff, there's going to be somebody that picks up something.
But were you videoing something. Him right when he walked in the building? Probably not. And Dolan, if you want to believe him, is stating that the second the guy walked into the garden, the guy was being a jackass.
Yeah.
Oakley was, and Oakley has disputed that vehemently.
Well,
so.
And he wasn't charged for handing the finger and the Spock out and the...
He got charged for...
Karate chop?
Multiple, you know, I think it was assault, like third degree and if trespassing.
If I'm the head of security there and I lose my job because this guy comes in and stirs that up and I'm the one who got pushed, I don't know if that's the guy who got fired, I'd be pissed off.
You think they'll ever get by this? You think that Dolan will ever call up Charles Oakley and say, let's just make this right? You want to sit in a box, an alumni box, or this is over?
I don't get the impression like he's interested in that. I mean, now he's going on live radio, and he knows this is going everywhere. There's a reason he's in studio.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, screw Oakley. I'm getting out there, and I'm James Dolan. I'm going to tell you what's going on.
Yeah, this guy's a
I don't think
busy
Dolan's
guy. He's
do
not
it.
Taking 2 hours out of his life to get into studio to tell his side of the story because the other side's going viral.
He knows exactly what he's doing. I don't see it. And Oakley, I don't think will ever... He doesn't seem like the guy who lets bygones be bygones. I don't get that impression. Alex Anthopoulos in about 15 minutes on some proposed rule changes in Major League Baseball. The Jays have a new relief pitcher who was in L.A. last year. We'll get you the update on him. And does he think Jose Bautista will hold court again day one of spring training? And future headlines in about 45 minutes. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
We're getting some major support for the marathon.
We had someone text us who's really not happy that we keep calling it a marathon.
You're right, because it's not a marathon.
We're calling it one.
Well, I was the first one to... I ridiculed the idea of calling it a marathon until I agreed to actually do it. So now it's a marathon. This guy texting in saying, please stop calling it a marathon, exclamation point. I trained for a year to complete one, exclamation point.
How about just go to hell and get a life?
Just chill out, man. Who cares?
Such an idiot here.
Yeah, you're a loser.
Hit it again, Phil.
This guy's such an idiot here.
One more, Phil.
This guy's such an idiot here.
You did your marathon. Congrats.
Yeah, you're a hero.
Yeah.
I'm on his side.
If you want, I'll just toot my own horn about every one of my stats in the NHL. The league that you never played in, marathon boy.
Stop.
But I don't.
Did you hear about this guy by the name of Tony Arts, who was golfing in Fort Myers, Florida? I'm going to Fort Myers in a few weeks. Huge alligator, like he hit his ball into the water or close to the water. Huge alligator came out, grabbed the guy by the ankle, started dragging him in to the water. He was up to his waist, and he had his putter in his hand. I don't know why he was by the drink with his putter. Started stabbing the alligator in the eye to the point where the alligator finally let him go, and he ran out of the water hazard. He was up to his waist. The alligator had pulled him in that far.
Wow.
He's a lucky you-know-what. That's game over time.
Oh, stabbing dude, they get you in there. You're toast. Like, he essentially went Chubbs Peterson. Like, he took he took his eye out.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Alligator attacks, you're supposed to attack the eye?
I guess. They say that about, like, Rottweilers and stuff, right? If dogs, that's, like, the last line of defense. If they get you and their jaws are locked, you've got to take the eye out. You got to go Chubbs.
Wow. Scary.
But that would be terrifying. Like, I don't think I could play golf again. Like, it would be so traumatic.
Well, it's in Florida. Like, they're everywhere.
Fort Myers, they are everywhere.
Don't go golfing.
I'm not. I'm a pool guy anyway. You know that, Noodles.
Yeah, you're...
I hate natural bodies of water.
Yeah, that's me.
Because of alligators. Anyway, Alex Anthopoulos, who I think is in L.A. right now.
He's loving life.
Yeah, he's pretty happy he's not up here in Toronto. He's going to join us to kick off the next hour. Future headlines at 6:30. Leafs Sabres tomorrow night. We'll tee that up. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.